Hello, and welcome to episode 163 of the Weekly Song Podcast. If you've never joined us before, this is a show where me and my co-host, Roger Heathers, say hello, Roger.
Hello.
Hello, indeed. Where we each write a song within a week, and we bring them to the podcast. We have a bit of a listen, we have a bit of a chat, and we generally talk about loads of music and music-related things. It's a fairly self-explanatory format, and it's going quite well for us. Oh, 18 seasons in. How are you, Roger? How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, feeling good. Last week's song was fairly... This week's song we're talking about now was fairly easy to write, which is not always the case. So I'm feeling pretty good. I had a few days to demo it and develop it, get the lyrics changed up and that sort of thing. So feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, lucky you. I didn't get quite that much time. Another last minute write on Sunday job for me. I promise one but time by the end of the season, I will actually write before the end of the week. But I think I've got something okay this weekish. We'll have a see. But before we see that, let's have a listen to your song this week, Roger. So tell us about it. What's it called? What's it go like? And any fun dance moves that we should be trying as we're listening to it.
So you want to go up to the left, up to the right.
Up to the left.
Up to the left.
Up to the right.
Up
to the left.
That's right. But the other way around. You got it. Like it's in a mirror.
Oh, so I have to do up to the right, then up to the left.
That's right. School spirit.
No, that's left.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because it's the webcam. It's that we got to flip it and stage left and audience. I don't know. But anyway, so this...
You're childish.
This song is called... what is it called? This song is called The Golden Rule, and it goes like this. Will my faith come back? And then it's gone again, just as I remember to be calm. You're it's gone away. How can I convince you that I have just yesterday, just enough to make you understand? I've stopped making my excuses, I've stopped holding back. I never said enough to prove it. I can't do that. One time and I've forgiven. Two times and I'd be thinking I'd never do that. Crawling back.
So that was Roger's song for this week, The Golden Rule. And of course, the golden rule of this show is that Roger always writes brilliant songs.
Oh, stop. So
this is another one to add to your vast collection of hits.
Stop.
I can't. It's habitual at this point. how does this one start? This one feels like kind of like relaxed and sort of slowed down. But you said as we were listening to it, you were sort of already thinking of like developing this one. So like, what is this song in your head kind of?
I've started to having a habit of like, I'll do the acoustic demo for the show and then I'll do another demo in my spare time, which has drums on it because... you know, just to kind of like see what the arrangement feel like. And in my head, it kind of feels like, I don't know what to compare it to, really. Something a bit more 90s rock than anything I would normally go for. Because, you know, you and me, we're both big fans of 60s and 70s, you know, recording styles and stuff, as well as other things. But this one I kind of see as more like a kind of, not grungy, but maybe how you might produce like Alanis Morissette or something like that in the 90s. Acoustic, but rocky.
It's interesting you say it, because when you say 90s rock, I didn't really get that sort of sense from it. But I do kind of get a bit of a sort of Dave Grohl kind of vibe from some of the chord choices in the songwriting. Talking of which, there are a couple of like interesting little chord changes in there, like a few bits of non-diatonic stuff. And you were saying that you'd sort of taken some chords out of other scales. So how did that get implemented in the song?
Yeah, so basically like... if you're writing in one key, this one's in G major, so you'll be using lots of Gs and Cs and Ds, you know, and that sort of thing. And the song uses a lot of those, but it also peppers in a few songs from the G minor scale as well. So you got things like F and D sharp, A sharp, things like that. Where if this whole song was in G minor, you'd be using those chords a lot of the time. But to kind of like borrow them, have them be borrowed chords that you put into your G major style song, I always think creates a bit of a, it can either be a bluesy thing or it can even be a little bit cheesy, like a little bit rocky and cheesy and that sort of thing. So it just kind of like adds a bit of like an angular feel to the song in my mind. So yeah, I mean, it was basically just using those. So, I mean, in the verses, you're playing quite a standard chord progression apart from one chord. So you're going G major, B minor, C, and normally here you go D. So I just grab my guitar a sec. I'll show you what would normally be happening here in a kind of like, if I was to do this in a diatonic way. So you'd be going. Which is quite a sort of nice, you could play that round and round in a loop all day long and it would sound nice. But what I'm doing here is I'm playing G major, B minor, C, and then instead of the D major, I'm playing a D sharp major, which is a bit more of a rise, you know.
Exactly, yeah. It's just that one element slightly out of place, but it is kind of linked to the root note, the G chord. G will be, if you're playing an E flat, G will be the major third. So you've kind of got that weird kind of movement back to the beginning of the sequence.
Yeah, exactly. It just felt like the right choice when I was kind of like coming up with melodies over the top of that, you know. It sounds good, but it's a little happy sounding. Whereas I kind of knew that because I came up with the title first and like then the concept and the lyric kind of came into my head first. So I knew I wanted a little bit more of a sideways look at it, which should be reflected in the chord. So I don't know how to describe it. It's just a little different, you know.
Interesting. So you normally, when you write, you say that you write your words and your music at the same time. They come as one. So you had the words first this time. Is that something that you tend to do semi-regularly at all, or is that like a bit of a new one for you?
It's a new one, honestly. Usually how the songs for me will start recently is like in my day-to-day life, whether I'm at work or whether I'm, you know, watching TV, which is how this one began, I'll hear a phrase or something and I'll go, that's a good phrase, make a note of it. But then also that phrase, if I'm lucky, will kind of like tie into something else I'm feeling in my life, like a general thing that keeps coming up, like a if there's something at, I don't know, even at work or one of my relationships or something that's frustrating me or I need is like a hurdle I need to get over somehow, if I can tie that in with the phrase or something that I hear in a conversation or on TV, that kind of helps. So I've been getting a lot of that recently where it's just like, oh, that could be something, you know, and then the music I'll write. I won't write the words and then write the music. I'll just have the idea for what the word should be and then try to write the music with them later, if that makes sense.
It's kind of interesting. So you've kind of got a very definite tone set in mind from the very beginning of the process.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily dictate what the music should be. Like with Better the Devil You Know, the song I wrote for last week's episode, that one wasn't Better the Devil You Know. I had the phrase in my head, the saying, but then it wasn't the case of I know what this should sound like musically. I didn't have a time signature or anything in mind. It was really a case of going, I like that phrase. And then I think I just sat down at the piano last week and just figured out what rhythm suited that phrase and then started there. With this one, what I did was I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm in the bath, and Larry David, I can't remember the context, but he mentioned, he said, that's the golden rule, you know, and as if he was referring to something that actually already exists in culture. And I'd heard the golden rule in a Todd Rundgren lyric for a song, Just One Victory. So I got out the bath and I looked it up, and it turns out it's from the Bible, the golden rule. Which is, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's kind of where the whole modernized version of do unto others as you would have them do unto you comes from. And I thought, oh, there's a song there somewhere, you know?
If you can't get songs out of the Bible, then what's it good for? That will get me into trouble.
Title! The most controversial title to date.
Can I just ask, there's a little bit in that, it's just a little detail bit in the song where you sort of count up to three. Is that just a sort of structural thing, or is that just a little fun of like, this is the third song, let's count up to three?
Oh, I didn't think of that. I really didn't. But in hindsight, yes, I did. And I'm clever because I thought of that.
Of course you did. Ah.
There you go. I mean, that part was it was one of those lovely choruses, which don't always happen, where I already had the idea for the song in mind and I got to what would, because I was just, you know, scatting through the song, got to what would be the chorus, rose up to that lovely four chord, C major, and my vocals rose as I was improvising stuff. And I just came up with, one time, da 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 da, two times. It's pretty simple refrain, but you know, it works, you know.
It's just a nice little hook like that, because something like that, when you start counting, you think, oh, where's it gonna go?
Yeah.
Which particularly on like a chorus section like that, it's kind of nice to have those little hooks in there.
It is, but don't you find it's like when you get an easy hook like that, part of you as a songwriter could think like, but what does it mean? It sounds good, but what does that mean? Does it tie into the message I'm trying to convey in the song? And the answer sometimes is no, it doesn't. So I had to really work at that to kind of get it to work.
Oh, you see, I don't care. I just want the audience to pay attention. Cheap Tricks all the way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, luckily, I came over the one time, the two time, three time thing. And I kind of, this is where the song started to make some sense. So lyrically, I mean, so I came up, I had, so again, I've watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, I've come up with this general quotation, the golden rule. I thought, that's a title, that's the title for a song, figure out what it means. And then I started to think about do unto others as you would like to do unto yourself, and how that is a great thing to aspire to. You know, who could argue with that? Pardon me. But then it's hard to do that, because obviously we all have our patience and we can all be tested. And it reminded me of the other thing of like, turn the other cheek. You know, if you're tested, if your patience is tested, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. And that's difficult. So the chorus kind of ties into that, where it's like confrontation with somebody or an argument or something, like, one time and I'll forgive them. You know, how great am I? Two times, and I'll still forgive them, but I'll start judging them inside my head. So already I'm not like a holy guy, you know. Three times and I'll start biting back. So it's like already after three instances of this, I'm so far from where I'd like to be in terms of that high place you want to be, you know?
Indeed. It's kind of interesting, like, you've sort of had a bit of a run this time of, like, taking sayings and then, like, inverting their meanings or, like, challenging them. Like, with Better the Devil You Know last week, and then this week going, like, yeah, okay, the golden rule is nice, but it's difficult to apply.
Exactly. It's like, I think the other way you could have taken that is, like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and have the song be about that. If it is very self-righteous, and it's like, it actually, in honesty, I'm not, that doesn't go for me, you know, and I'm not,
I
like...
think there are very few people that it does go for, like, in, exactly. in complete total. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of it for the song, really. I mean, other than to say that when you asked about the production earlier, there is the section at the end where it goes to the bridge, and then it rises up, you know, I want my soul to help my body to remember, help my body to remember, I want my soul back. And then it goes into what would be a guitar solo. So this is something, again, I've said this before, but I've taken from your playbook in songwriting, where you'll kind of write a solo section into a song, even at the acoustic stage. And that's pretty much it, really.
Well, it's, if that's all there is to it, then it's a nice, concise little song. I really like it. I'm really glad that you're sort of producing up. I can't wait to sort of see what you end up doing with it. Like, I'm struggling to imagine what it's going to sound like based on your description.
Well, I have a demo of it, which I'm a little bit shy to show you, but I'll send it over. It's just the vocals suck because it's a little bit out of my range. So see what you think.
Darling, wait until you hear mine this week.
I will say, I have heard your song before we hit record on the podcast, and this is my favourite of your songs so far this week, so we'll take a listen in a sec. So tell us about it. What's it called, and how does it go?
Oh, cheers. It's called Out of Time. It goes like this.
Far too late, the mechanism of all our lives, now only mine. is fading, and I am done with waiting. Out of time, out of time, out of time, out of time.
All right, so that was Declan's third song of the run. That was Out of Time. And if you asked me to say the amount of things I like about that song, I'd probably be out of time before you told me to stop taking the amount of things I like about the song. So, no, yeah, seriously, my favorite.
Tennis in the mail.
My favorite of the run so far, like I said, just really good, melodic and emotional. And I don't know, just had a, it hit me pretty viscerally when I heard it the first time. So how does this one start?
It starts on a B flat chord.
All right, next week.
C chord. It was just mucking about with the chord shapes, really. It started off with getting the verse together. So it starts off on a B flat, but you're holding the sixth above it and then releasing that. So you've got like a. That kind of movement, which then ended up influencing the melody line. The da, 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 da. And then repeat that upon the C, because that seems fun.
Yeah.
And then because we like ambiguity, let's have one of those Sunday chords, and F major 7.
That's awesome.
And A diminished, because diminished are the best chords. G minor, C.
Very cool. Yeah, I like the fact that there is already, you know, I don't know, 8 seconds into the song, or into the verse at least, you've got some non-diatonic things in there. Well, maybe not non-diatonic, but like, you know, major seven chords, like you say, those Sunday chords in there, and you've got, which is now what they're called, by the way. And then you've got diminished chords in there. So it seems like immediately you kind of wanted to take it off the beaten track sonically.
Well, it just kind of sounded nice. It's the long and short of it.
Actually, maybe I shouldn't overly intellectualize every choice. Sometimes it just sounds nice.
Yeah, sometimes it does just sound nice. So that was the verse section together. And then I realized, oh no, wait a minute. This sounds kind of similar in vibe to another song. So have you ever heard the song Pink Lemonade by James Bay?
I've heard some James Bay, but I don't think I've heard that one, no.
Don't fall into my arms.
There will probably be a clip, a very brief clip in the episode. So once we both edit this, you'll be able to see the sort of thing. So I know how to play the song. It's not the same chords. There is a major seven in there, which kind of gives a lot of that feel. But I realized, oh no, I've gone for something with a slightly similar feel. Now I need to take steps to sort of distance myself from that song somewhat. So when you get to the chorus, that's where you have those doom, 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 doom sort of stabs on there, which sort of breaks it up a little bit. And it was getting a nice sort of rising sort of thing, trying to get to the top of my range for the verse, which is why those bits are a wee bit pitchy, but we'll stay clear of that one slightly. But when I was coming to do the vocal melodies for the whole thing, I sort of realized, oh, wait a minute. The way I've decided to do the vocals on the verse, it sort of cuts off the beginning. It sort of starts before the one with the bar. Do 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 one, two, three, four. So you end up like having to have some sort of buffer chord. So I just thought, well, okay, what's the best chord to put in there as a buffer chord? A major. Why not? It's the major first. Stick it in there. Little cheap little chord that sort of signifies, right, we're moving on to another section now. So that's why it's got that long extended intro, to sort of try and get the feel of it. But then also you need a little bit of a sort of buffer before you can start singing, which is why that A major is there after the choruses as well.
I see. So you needed that kind of, I don't know, something to kind of change direction there. And that's what that A major was. So does it also bridge it to get from minor to major?
Not really. The beginning section is based around B flat, C, F, and A, and then sort of the important chords that you're dealing with to transition between the two sections are normally F and B flat. So A major as the major third is just kind of a nice way to sort of say, right, we're changing gear and we're into the next section.
Right, that makes sense, yeah. Did you start with that riff where you got the chords with the sixths on top and then kind of realizing you want to change direction there? So am I right in thinking the music came first this week?
Absolutely, yeah. So like the reason that A major chord is in there is because once I got those pieces together of the music and then tried to put a vocal melody on top of it, I realized I needed that sort of break to sort of give myself some time to come in. So the only other musical little bit of the song that I haven't really talked about is the bridge.
I love the bridge. I love that it goes halftime. I don't know if that was intentional, but that great change of feel.
It's a pain to try and sing because the chords sort of work-ish. It's like an A diminished to a G minor to a D minor to a B flat 7 to an A7 to an F. So that's kind of interesting. It's a nice little movement. Halftime, that sounds okay. That'd be fun with a band. It is really difficult to get a melody that falls neatly on top of that. So if there's any section of the song that needs rewriting vocally, it's that bit. Just, it's awkward and it took a few takes and it's not quite there yet.
I know what you're saying, yeah. When you have, especially something, because the bridge relies, well, not relies, but it contains some diminished chords which the melody works over the top of. First of all, I think you did a great job with it. And secondly, I think sometimes, even if the melody might feel, it might feel like you said, it would need work after the demo stage, sometimes harmonies can fill in that because then the vocal harmonies are doing some of the work of the chords as well. So there's loads of options you got there.
Well, the problem particularly with that one is that it needs to get from a relatively high note for me to a relatively low note for me. Because from the chorus, you're going from out of time, which when it's being sung properly is on an F, which is normally the very top of my range. The reason it has to go quite low is because I'm then singing A flat on the sense closer to running out, which obviously is a much lower part of my register, but it ties into the B flat. So I have to get from, I think the highest chord I managed, the highest note I managed to sort of get onto was an E flat all the way down to an A flat in the space of two bars and try and make it sound natural. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but we're working on it.
So with the bridge, because you said the vocal melody was quite hard to kind of like graft onto the chords, did you write all the chords first and go, oh, that's a good selection of chords, let me then go back and write a vocal melody? Were you kind of messing around with things as you were writing?
That's always how I write. I always write the music first and then put the vocal melody on top. And this is one of the drawbacks of doing that, boys and girls.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, but it's interesting because obviously we meet on the podcast and hear each other's songs and discuss the how they were written, but I'm not there in your room watching how you write. So I mean,
or are you?
I can only go have I enclosed closed circuit cameras in your room? Find out next week.
Wait, what?
But no, I haven't. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, you had that thing in the verse where you had the major chord with the sixth, which kind of was the top line, the lead melody line of the vocals. So I mean, that must have been kind of in your head, right?
Yes, but also it sort of impacts the tone of the song a little bit, like, and how high it needs to rise over a short period of time. Because the way I play this one on the guitar, it's kind of all across the neck. It's a bit awkward to try and move it around. And then I couldn't see the pain. I can belt that okay, but it is kind of low, which is fine for a verse. But then it means you've really got to push up quickly to get into sort of the proper notes for the chorus. If I had a wider range, like, it'd be interesting to push this up to those first notes, would then change the key of it so those first notes hit a bit stronger.
Mm, that makes sense, yeah. But it works really well as a whole. Like, I wouldn't have known that you wrote the vocal melodies after the music and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it definitely works. But then as far as, like, well, doing that process, really, as far as having that music there and then going back, I mean, did you come up with certain phrases along the way, you know, or did you have a certain idea of what you wanted to write about, or did it come out when you put pen to paper?
So as I was writing it, I did end up like coming up with the first line. It's nice when you get a first line. Doesn't always happen. But the first line, you know, I couldn't see the signs. So, okay, that's cool. We can develop that. We can take that somewhere.
Mm.
The next few bits are a bit cliche. I'll admit that I was blind. You know, fair. It rhymes. It sort of suits the vibe. I was surrounded by the mechanism of both our lives. It's like, okay, where did that come from?
I think that's cool because when you have a couple of lines which you feel are maybe cliche or something, I don't know if that's the word you used, but and then it's followed by something which is like, oh, okay, where did that come from? And it's a little bit more out there. I think that's a nice bit of chemistry, you know, to kind of like go forward with. So,
but it sort of ended up dictating what the song ended up being about, which is kind of not appreciating something whilst you have it, like and sort of taking things for granted, and like it's that bit in the second, I was so stubborn, I didn't think that things would change, so I stayed the same.
I love that.
Again, it's a bit cliche, but it's like, okay, it ties into everything. There we go.
Definitely.
There's what the song's about.
I love it. And it just goes to show that once you're a few lines in, you kind of go, I think I know what the song's going to be about.
It's a nice feeling when that happens, like as opposed to being there on verse two going like, right, I'm just writing into the abyss. I have no idea what I'm fucking saying at this point.
Welcome to my world.
The Weekly Song Podcast, we know nothing.
Pretty much.
We know nothing.
One lyrical thing I will say I have really loved in your song, not to jump ahead, but is, I actually made a note of this. You said, then you found me needing much more than I need healing, I need time, which is a great line. And then later on you say, now you find me needing, there's nothing left for healing, which I just love the change up. Change up.
The change up. It's a thing. You change, it's up.
The up is changed. You changed up.
Now, you don't change down. That's dangerous. If you change down, that's kind Ooh. Of... It works in certain scenarios, but... but change up is always just like, yes, A star move. Well done.
Yeah, it's not risky. You change up. It's the change up.
I think this might be a...
I feel like we could just get stuck in this loop forever.
I think that might be a title.
Yes, title.
Yeah, I kind of, as I was getting through the song, I sort of thought, okay, we can sort of structure this story interestingly a little bit, because we were saying before, like, you can structure songs that have a change in them, so by the last verse the narrator is going to make some change to their life that makes things better, or they're going to take some action, or they're now aware of whatever their problem is. And this one, it was originally going to follow my default song structure, which, for those of you who don't know, is verse, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
It's a winning formula.
It works for a reason, and I do it far too often. But I realized, okay, we could maybe change the... If this person doesn't change, we can maybe change things around them. So, like... they're still stuck in that situation. But you can sort of have a third chorus that goes like, no, this person done goofed.
Right.
Like, they did not realise what they had up until the moment they left. And it's like, okay, we can get some big sad and then some big angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think, that, like I said, this song had a real visceral effect for me lyrically. And I think it was because of that thing of like, because I kind of read the song as like living in regret, but from what you're saying, it's like living in regret while you still got the thing. And it's like, that is even sadder in a way.
It's just like not realizing that, you know, oh, that was great. Man, I let that go.
Yeah. I can relate. In fact, the song I'm writing this week, which we'll be talking about next episode, is kind of in the same vein. So I think we're on the same wavelength there to some degree.
I should be watching the lyrics very closely. I'll have my copyright lawyers on to you if you dare do anything. I joke, I can't afford copyright lawyers, and I wouldn't do that to you. But I would do that to your copyright lawyers if you have
them. Yeah, fuck them. I always forget if we're allowed to swear.
It's not too a podcast. Late. I swore earlier. It's too late now.
It's too shitting late. But no, yeah, I'm loving this song. I was kind of saying to you while we were listening to it, like, it's obviously an acoustic demo, but it does go pretty hard, especially during the choruses when you're right up there belting those notes. So, I mean, what would you do with it production-wise? Like, how do you picture it in your head?
So if you listen to the song Pink Lemonade on YouTube.
Okay. I mean,
and
hopefully
then, And then if James Bay's copyright lawyers are listening, I'm totally not going to do that.
They're going to show that clip in court, Declan.
I think it does suit being a full band thing. I think you would need some more grunt in there for the choruses. But you would also sort of need like a driving bass with some sort of swirly stuff going on during the verses. I also have no idea how that would match with my voice by being quite low down.
Mm.
I'm like, you know, I couldn't see the sight. It's not really going to work in the same context. Out of time.
I mean, this could be on your like punk rock opera album. I'd like it. Your impression of yourself is hilarious. Who know I couldn't face the day.
It's a pity I hate crooner music. I'd be brilliant at it. You know I couldn't see the signs. I will admit that I was blind. I was surrounded by the mechanism of both our lives.
Well,
yours and mine.
Folks, stay tuned for Kitchener on Broadway, coming to Vegas near you. Vegas. All right, so on to our regular item. What have you been listening to, Ian? So, Declan, what's been on your headphones this week?
Well, Ian will be delighted to know that, again, I have props of what I've been listening to because I'm trying to catch up on my CD listening before I go back into the world of streaming. So, quickfire. Frank Zappa, Hot Rats.
Ooh, I like that album, particularly Peaches and Regalia.
I enjoyed it. I think it's weird that there's only one vocal track on there, at least that I remember.
And the only vocal track is done by Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. Django Django. Enjoyed that on a walk around Exeter. I believe the album is just called Django Django.
Nice.
Tame Impala. Again, just called Tame Impala. It's one of their EPs before their records. Some great stuff on there. I need to give it another listen.
That guy's like a one-man multi-instrumental project, right?
It's Kevin Parker, I think. I think some of it is, yeah. This great track he does with Mark Ronson, I think Daffodils, I think it's called.
Oh, right.
It's got a great riff on it.
Is that on the EP or is that on a later thing?
No, that's on one of Mark Ronson's tracks. For the benefit of YouTube, I shall put in a very short clip of the riff here because it's a great riff. Did you enjoy that clip of the riff?
What a fantastic riff! Love a riff!
Enrique Iglesias, Insomniac, bought for two songs from a charity shop.
I didn't expect that.
So the ping pong song, which doesn't hold up as well as I remembered, and Tired of Being Sorry, which I would argue does if you approach it on its own terms.
Nice.
Sigrid, The Hype. Enjoyed. Need to give it another listen, but I really enjoyed her last full length.
Does it live up to the hype?
Well, yes, I think so.
Good.
He said, considering the hype. Miles Kane, One Man Band, his record from last year. I quite enjoyed that. It's a bit different to the previous one, which is a bit more polished, but this one is a bit more guitar-y. I like that. These CDs are going to be in terrible condition by the end.
Just like chucking them to the side.
Arlo Parks, My Soft Machine. Again, another record from last year. I enjoyed it, and I need to give it another proper listen. I've listened to it twice a year apart, and I remember enjoying it, but I do need to do a bit of a proper sit-down listen with it. I had a few singles, so I got these for the B-sides, but I just really like the singles. Kaiser Chiefs, Every Day I Love You Less and Less.
Oh, great song.
Great song.
Yeah.
The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Annoyingly, this has a single edit. So I've had the album for ages, but it has like a weird filter on the start, whereas this version doesn't.
Oh, nice. No filter.
No filter, indeed. David Bowie, Fame, 90. Which is a load of remixes of the track Fame, which piqued my curiosity because Fame's probably my favourite David Bowie song. Some of them are good, some of them are interesting. There is a Queen Latifah rap version on here. That is not a sentence I thought I'd ever say about David Bowie.
Nice. Oh, can I ask, was there a Trent Reznor remix on that thing?
No. At least not that I'm aware of. And the Lathams, For Nothing to a Little Bit More. I enjoyed. The Lathams are one of those bands that I'll just stick on. It's fine. I like it. I enjoy it. I also am not going to recommend that you listen to it first, like immediately. Like, it's not going to change your life or anything. It's just kind of nice guitar music.
Sweet.
Sorry, the Lathams. So, Ian, if that is your name, what have you been listening to?
Well, my name is Roger, and...
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Welcome to the Weekly Song Podcast. Yeah, after 18 seasons, well, 7 years of doing this, 7 years of doing a podcast? Probably not that long.
I think it's a bit longer, probably.
Oh, God. Well, I don't have props, sorry, YouTube, sorry. But I do have things I've been listening to. So I've been listening to Spotlight on Nilsson by Harry Nilsson. And I believe it was the first album he put out. And it's an interesting one because it's got that kind of, how do I put it, like 60s marketed album type of feel. So this was pre-Sgt. Pepper. And this was before people were making albums that were like for the album's sake, right? And so it's very like hired engineer, you know, in-house producer, female backing vocalist who probably did the backing vocals for every session for every artist that year in that studio. And it's great. It's great. It's just a really good showcase of his vocal talents more than anything. I think there are some songs he wrote on there, but there's a ton of covers too, I think. And I love Harry Nilsson, and I hadn't heard that album. There's a song on it called, my favorite song on the album is called You Can't Take Your Love Away From Me. A very...
You sound like you're getting emotional.
I promised I wouldn't cry.
I know you like Harry Nilsson, but you have to just accept the fact that you have several of his albums.
I mean, I wish this were one I could show. I really do sound emotional. I think I could be a method actor as long as I have something just there in my throat.
And as long as you're talking about Harry Nilsson.
Don't. I can't live. Anyway.
Everything is about you.
That's a great song. Sadly, not one he wrote. That was Badfinger.
Badfinger.
Yeah.
The original is really weird when you listen back to it because the Harry Nilsson version has those big soaring vocal lines like,
yeah.
I can't live if living is without you. The Badfinger was, I can't live if living is without you.
Yeah, I think that's
I can't live.
I can't live. I can't live anymore. Yeah, you're right. And it's one of the few things where the cover song is better than the original.
It's definitely a stronger vocal performance. Like, that's kind of the definitive... All future versions are kind of based on the Harry Nilsson one.
Hmm. I think, as an aside, I think I've read that Harry Nilsson and his producer, and they were very much like collaborators at the time, they'd been out to lunch and they had a massive argument where they kind of had creative differences and they had all these different conflicts going, really angry at each other. And then they went back to the studio after lunch, and that was the take you hear on the record is the first take they recorded after lunch. So it obviously had like some kind of catharsis to it, I guess.
It's interesting learning these stories that sort of inform like these versions of songs and everything.
Mm, definitely. And the only other thing I've listened to this week, which really makes me sound like a bad music fan, because you've got like 12 albums you've been listening to.
Yes, but the comment on most of them was like, it's good, I need to listen to it again.
That's fair. Well, and also I suppose the other thing I've been listening to isn't an album, but it's an audiobook by Rick Rubin. It's called The Creative Act, and it's a book all about the creative act. And I think listeners of the podcast will probably really like it. I think you'd really like it, Declan, as well. It's just about making music, making art, making films, and just kind of what that process is, because it's such a nebulous process and such a sort of like, you can't really pin it down, but he has all these exercises and like approaches to writing and all that kind of thing. Really, really good. Really inspiring. Really kind of got me writing again in a sort of more freed up way, rather than kind of being afraid of trying to get it right. I'm just trying to have fun with it now.
That's good. That's sort of interesting to hear someone's take on it like that. I must admit, I'm not like a big fan of Rick Rubin at all, but like it would be interesting to hear some of his ideas.
Yeah, I'm not particularly either. I mean, there are some albums that I like, which he produced, but I don't know how much of a role he had as a producer, in the sense that, say, George Martin would with the Beatles or something. Like, he produced, you know, Johnny Cash and Tom Petty and Red Hot Chili Peppers and people like that. But my favorite albums by those artists, I don't really think I like them because of him, but his ideas on creativity are really, really interesting. I'd definitely give it a listen or a read just for the sake of that. So,
fair play.
Yeah. So that's what I've been listening to, Ian.
And Ian has not shown up once again. It's like he doesn't take this thing seriously.
His silence speaks volumes.
It's because he's listening to music. That's the trouble.
Yeah. So we have received an email here at the podcast. We've been doing pretty good for emails recently. It's been nice having some correspondence, people sending in songs they've written, people sending in thoughts, nice things they say. If you want to email the show, it's weeklysongpodcast@gmail.com. And we have an email here from regular emailer Ansley Hendricks.
Yes, Ansley writes, "Hi Roger and Declan, your songs are amazing this week. I'm so glad you're back. I'd love to share my new original song, Sticks, Stones and Words. It's a look at that old saying from when we were kids, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt. The truth is, words can hurt, and sometimes you don't realise it until you get older. I'll be releasing my second EP on Bandcamp soon, and this song will be a part of it. Thanks so much, Ansley Hendricks." Thank you very much for writing in. So, Sticks, Stones and Words. This is Ansley Hendricks' song, and it goes like this.
They don't matter, they're just sticks, stones. hear them crash out. See them fall, fall again. Down a deep mountain. Down a crevice with no end. Keep on trying. No matter how much it hurts. Cause they don't matter. They're just sticks, stones, and words. Ooh. They're just sticks, stones, and words.
So that was Ansley Hendrix with Sticks, Stones and Words. And we both really enjoyed it. It's a fantastic song.
Yeah, it's great to hear some harmony work in there, like some sounding very sort of rich in places as well. And like Roger, you were saying about like the kinds of chords that you could hear in there.
Yeah, you got some sus4 chords in there. Some others which my ear isn't amazing or anything, but some stuff that I hadn't heard you do before, Ansley, which I thought was really, really good. And yeah, just really, really good. And like you were saying, Declan, the harmonies, but also overdubs. I think there was like some kind of stringed instrument in there as well. So all I can say is I'm looking forward to the next EP because it sounds like there's been a, you know, steps up all round and it just sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that sort of unfolds really nicely. That's got like a really nice sense of drama to it. So yeah, when that gets released on Bandcamp, as you said, it will be soon. Yeah, that's going to be quite good. That'd be nice. Thank you very much for sending that one in.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone who wants to check out Ansley's music, you can find her at her Bandcamp, which is ansleyhendrix.bandcamp.com. That's AnsleyHendrix, like Jimi Hendrix, and .bandcamp.com. So check her out. New EP soon. And so that brings us to the end of the podcast, basically. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks for everyone who supported Season 18 so far, particularly watching on YouTube. It's really good to have the visual element of the show. I'm enjoying writing and hearing Declan's songs as well this season. For people who want to email the show, as I said before, it's weeklysongpodcast@gmail.com. Send us any comments, any feedback, any thoughts, any songs you've written, anything like that. We love hearing from people. You can follow us on Instagram @weeklysongpodcast. You can find us on Facebook under the same handle. Obviously, subscribe to us on YouTube. That's The Weekly Song Podcast. And yeah, that's pretty much it as far as correspondence for us. Declan, where can people find you and your music?
Well, they can find it here every week. Every single week. But if you don't fancy waiting for the next episode of the podcast, then you can check me out on Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, Bandcamp, all the fun places. Search Declan Kitchener Music. I have some various things on there. Some of them are all right. And something that I have online, which is very good, and which I have done with my friend Roger here, is our little band together, Schnookums, which you can follow on Bandcamp, on all of the other streaming services. You can also follow us on Instagram, which is at schnookums.band. So that's schnookums.band. But put the at the beginning because that'll be nice.
It's just a little extra thing you can do. It's fine.
I think I also pointed to the wrong side. So like the at would just have to move from there over to here.
Well, we spoke about this at the beginning. It's the which left is which right, you know, it's tough.
Stage left, stage right. Like I did an acting degree. I should be better at this.
Yeah, so you got no excuse. I didn't do anything ever. So I have an excuse.
You did nothing ever. Not even writing a song. Who wrote those songs then? Has everything been a lie?
Well, you know, you have to get in touch with my copyright lawyers.
I knew they were behind everything. But where can, seeing as we've just disproven that you write your own songs, where can people find the songs that your copyright lawyers are insisting that you write?
Well, I'm under no obligation to say, I'm saying it. To say that you can find my music on all the streaming platforms. Bandcamp, which is rogerheathers.bandcamp.com. Spotify, Apple Music, blah, 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 blah. You know where to find music these days. I'm also on Instagram @rogerheathers. All the other social media is under the same handle. And I'm writing blogs at the moment where I'm developing some songs and kind of experimenting a little bit, having a bit of fun with demos. So you can find that at rogerheathers.substack.com. And that's pretty much it. And yeah, do check out Schnookums, because that is our collaborative project, Declan and I. And as the year goes on, we're going to be working on new music as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fingers crossed we can get something out before the end of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you all so much for listening. Join us next week on episode 164 of the Weekly Song Podcast. And take care. We love you. I forgot what I say at the end of the show. It's like I'm speaking to my mum or something.
We love you. Take care. Make sure you're eating enough. Wrap up warm. Phone your mum.
You call me when you get home, okay?
Just let me know that you got home safely.
Your fingers don't work. You know, you could just phone me. Just puts my mind at ease. You'll be the same when you have kids.
All right. Love you. Goodbye. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.